We're back on Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads as we go to the hotline and welcome in the one and only JT. It's John Telich to talk some Cleveland Browns football as well as some high school football at the tail end of our conversation. We can't talk to JT without talking high school football, folks. I mean, we know the deal by now. But hello, JT. How are we doing today, sir?
I am doing great, Rock. I hope all your phenomenal listeners are doing well as well.
Well, it's Lorain County Fair Week, so I'm hoping plenty of folks have made their way out to the fairgrounds, and if so, they are certainly having themselves a very nice week. But let's talk some Cleveland Browns football as the news of the week. Perhaps, you know, not the most exciting thing in the world, a little off-field news, I guess you could call it. We've got some contract restructuring going on. You know, financial guru John Telich here. What does this do for the cap space? What does it mean for the cap space and flexibility with that? What is all this contract restructuring going on this week? What does that do?
Well, since I've been out to the Lorain County Fair, I'll try to keep the cotton candy off my fingertips here while I go over my notes. No, just kidding. Yeah, it's bookkeeping time, and we all know that there are some big bills that are coming due, not the least of which is that cap number of about $63 million next year for Deshaun Watson, who they've already restructured a couple of times since he became a Cleveland Brown, and I would suspect they would be doing the same for next year as well. But they did. They restructured Joel Bitonio. They saved $7.8 million there. Miles Garrett, $12.8 million. And then David Njoku, $2.7 million. So their cap space is apparently the best in the NFL. I know we joke about them winning the cap each and every year as if there's a real trophy that's given out, but they have $37.5 million in cap space. But again, I think he had to maneuver in the sense that he did in order to be ready for next year coming up when obviously the biggest number is the Watson number.
So is this one of those where, you know, you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul down the line, or is it kind of a little different than that?
Well, I mean, there's also the opportunity that if they did something this year, they certainly have some breathing room to do that, and then they definitely would have to make much more roster gymnastics work for them as they go forward. But you know, I think they're all in. This is their year where they think that they can make some noise. They've assembled an amazing amount of talent, even going out and getting someone like a Shelby Harris, who's been in the league for a while. Maybe he's going to be able to help them quite a bit. They already got Dalvin Tomlinson there. And so they must believe in Berea. This is the year to really make some noise. So they have flexibility for 2023 that we sit in now, and then they will continue to try to create more space for them as they go forward, especially restructuring Deshaun Watson's big number that he has for next year.
Well, someone on a very team-friendly contract right now for obvious reasons, DeJuan Jones, here in the preseason, making a lot of noise. And, you know, a stat I saw on X, as they call it now, before we started rolling here, he's got the most pass-blocking snaps without a sack allowed this preseason with 111 snaps taken. What are we seeing from this young man? Does he have a spot or a chance, I should say, to, you know, earn a starting spot once week one rolls around?
You know, I would think that that's probably in the future, but I think they are affording him a chance to be comfortable on both sides of the line. He has taken some snaps at left tackle. Mm-hmm. I know there is a contingency of Browns fans who are not enthralled with Jedrick Wills, who, by the way, if they give him an extension, that would be another person that they have to kind of shift money around for as they move forward. But I believe Stefanski said this is just kind of how things are naturally playing themselves out to give him chances on both sides of the ball. He's looked good. He's as you mentioned, played so many snaps. He's gotten so much work. Mm-hmm. I also think Jack Conklin with a concussion, you know, that's played into it somewhat. So fun to see him going forward. Makes you wonder, you know, will he be the swing guy? Or is it Hudson? You know, will Hudson play more with the second unit? Or is he going to surpass what Hudson's done? I don't know. Just know that he's done a pretty good job so far, and they like what they see, and they're continuing to give him more opportunities. So it's a good thing for him, and I think it also bodes well for the offensive line that by virtue of some of the folks that really keep track of these types of things, when they rate the offensive lines, I know Mike Lombardi has that podcast, the GM Shuffle. I believe he has Cleveland's line as the second best line in football. And so this young guy from Ohio State, this mountain of a man, only gives them more chances to solidify the line with a kid that's up and coming at his position. But he is a mountain of a man.
Can never have enough depth on that offensive line. I think a lot of general managers around the league would tell you that. Someone not competing for a starting spot at any point this year, barring some crazy injury, but fighting for depth chart positioning, the DTR, as they call him, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Yeah. Man, he's having a nice preseason.
He really is. What everything he's done is made people think, are they going to make him, the number two guy? Will he jump over Dobbs? Will he be the number two? I don't think that's something that's going to happen in the near future, but I think there's certainly a chance for it as the year goes on for him to be the guy that they look to bring into games. But with the guy that they have now as their second stringer, he's got snaps in the league. He's got more of a pedigree. So you go that way and see what happens as far as that is concerned. But, there's this rule, they can carry that third emergency quarterback on Sundays, but that guy has to be on the 53. So I'm definitely assuming that DTR is going to be on the 53. Mm-hmm. And then they can have him as that third guy on game days. And that won't take a roster spot because of this quirky little rule that's been reconstituted, if you will, in the National Football League. But by all versions, what I've seen, and we have to say he's playing against, backups and all of that, because that is preseason. He's done a lot of nice things just with his awareness, when to escape the pocket, throwing on the run, some nice balls. I saw him throw a couple sideline balls in between two defenders right on the money. So he's done a lot of real cool things. Fun kid to watch as time goes on.
Again, we're joined by John Telich this morning. It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Defensively, JT, Mahmoud Diabate, I think I got that pronounced correctly.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, thank you. A chance for the linebacker to earn a prominent role in a linebacking unit that, isn't necessarily solidified all the way through.
No, it isn't, and I think he's made some real nice plays most recently. I mean, he was in on 7 tackles the other night. He forced a fumble. He was right there in the tackle for the safety, shot a gap and made a nice play there, had some great awareness that I saw on a screen play where not only did he have his eyes back towards the quarterback while he was going back into his pass coverage, he had his eyes on the lineman, knowing that they're mobilizing for a screen pass. He cut through the lineman. He was able to punch the ball out to force a fumble. Made some real nice football moves, great speed. I recall when he was at Florida, recall when he was at Utah, always was knifing into the backfield, making some big plays. So, I can't predict that he makes the roster, but he certainly is doing a lot of great things right now before they cut down a chunk of guys on the rosters next week. He's got a real good chance of being part of their future. I like what I've seen so far.
Preseason finale at Kansas City coming up this Saturday. It'll be a 1 o'clock game. Before we dive into that, though, JT, you sent me an interesting note as our friends over at The Athletic ranked the stadiums across the National Football League. And our Cleveland Browns, not one, not two, not three, not four, but 19th, folks, is where they came in on the rankings there. Is that about where you'd put Cleveland Browns Stadium, JT, or is that maybe a little low for the Brownies?
Well, the Haslams want to get a better stadium. They want to make improvements to the one that they have. And I will say this, that the stadium ranking last year was 4 spots below. So by some hook or crook, it moved up to number 19. And I know they're talk about the stadium and what's going to be around it and renovations and all those types of things is just talk at the moment, nothing concrete, no plan in place per se, but certainly public discourse is going on about that. I just wonder, unless you go and build something brand new and do it world-class, better than anybody else. If you're going to make improvements to Brown Stadium now, what are you really going to do? Move it to, like, the middle of the pack? Or do you have plans that are going to make this such a spectacular facility and the things around it that it's worthy of actually making the move that they're doing? So I know it's public posturing that the Haslams are doing at this moment, but their stadium in these rankings from the Athletic is 19th. Number one is Minnesota. That's a fairly new but state-of-the-art, gorgeous facility up there in Minneapolis. SoFi, which is hosted a Super Bowl already, which has certainly, you know, it's the home of two teams. That's fantastic. Lambeau Field is your iconic one. AT&T, Jerry's Place in Dallas, is number four. And then Lumen Field, where the 12th man lives up in Seattle, that's number five. And just for reference, too, since I'll talk about the guys in the other stadiums in our division, Pittsburgh and Baltimore were ranked above Cleveland Stadium, and Cincinnati was ranked below Cleveland Stadium, just to put that in perspective.
All right, so not doing bad in the divisional race as far as stadium rankings go, so that's always a step in the right direction. Well, one of the more historic stadiums across the league, good old Arrowhead, is where the Brownies will be on Saturday as they get set to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. What are we looking for in this one, JT?
Well, you're going to see Watson play, you know, 20 to 25 snaps, according to what Kevin Stefanski has said to the media in recent days. And I think, you know, that could be, you know, if they like what they see in shorter amount of plays, maybe it won't be as many. Not everybody's going to start. I don't believe we're going to see Nick Chubb. I could be wrong on that, but there will be some guys that won't be playing. Obviously, Conklin, I would doubt very much, even though he's easing his way out of a concussion protocol, I wouldn't think you would see him. But, you know, you'll see a lot of those backups. It helped them make some of those moves. But I think for the most part, you know, that front end of the roster, a lot of the question marks, there aren't as many question marks as you've had in past years. But, you know, looking at, like, what Kansas City's done, in a recent game, they didn't want to play Patrick Mahomes that much in their most recent preseason game. And then a few things happened in the course of while his unit was in there that Andy Reid said, okay, well, let's extend his time out on the field a little bit more. So that happened with Kansas City in their last game. I'm not sure how much Patrick and the number ones will be playing for Kansas City, but usually the coaches do kind of, you know, have conversations ahead of time to give each other, quote-unquote, heads up as to what they're planning versus what the opponent is. And, you know, the end result is to get the true evaluation of players, and it's kind of hard to evaluate somebody, you know, if they're going for a starting job and they're playing with a third string team, you know, that's kind of hard to do. But by all intents and purposes, Watson's going to be in there about 20-ish plays, and that'll be it. And then they'll have 2 weeks to get ready for the opener.